can always tweet us at 99.3 ESPN Radio. We might even tweet you back. This is Scheman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Greetings and good afternoon, Scheman and Shepard. 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
What an underrated song this is.
Going to continue singing it or kind of groove with it a little bit? At least Chris is playing songs we've heard of today.
There's so many Journey songs that get overplayed, like to a point of nauseam.
Oh, like one of them?
This is one of them that doesn't get played enough.
Oh, that's why great. I play it.
It's great.
Coming up in a minute, we'll have Chris Landry, NFL scouting consultant. I've been working and talking with him for 19 years, literally. There's people are talking. Daniel Snyder is up to something with the Redskins. He may be moving into the top five from his 15 spot and maybe overreaching for a quarterback. We don't know who it is, but we'll get some inside scoop from Chris Landry and have him grade out the quarterbacks and how many he thinks will go in the first round.
Can't wait to hear from him. And I know that yesterday we brought up over-under on quarterbacks in the first round. I think it was 3.5. I said, I'm going over. Mel Kiper says he is 100% convinced it'll be 4 in the first round if somebody trades up.
Okay. So we'll talk to Chris about all such things. We'll talk to our Chris right now. Time for a Sports Center Rundown.
And you guys just alluded to it. Grant Paulson does the pregame for the Redskins Radio Network. He tweeted out, just talked with a Redskins source who told me Daniel Snyder has, quote, taken over the first round of the draft. Redskins fans, be very afraid. The NFL sent a letter to Jaguars VP of Football Operations Tom Coughlin warning him that if he criticizes players about not attending voluntary workouts, it could lead to a fine or a loss of OTA days, and NBA playoffs resume tonight.
Sounds good. All right, Chris Landry coming up in just a moment. I mean, this is amazing. You spend a year with your scouts. They do their work. They break down the game film. They go see players. Your coaching staff does more of the same. Your general manager pours over everything. And then in the last 24 hours, your owner steps in and says, I got this. I'm going to make our first round pick. I mean, that could happen. That could happen with the Washington Redskins here. I think it's even more drastic than the story we heard out of Oakland last week.
I just don't understand where all this love for Daniel Jones is coming from, because he had a nice season. He broke his clavicle, I think, last year, missed a bunch of games. But the knock on him, what I've seen, didn't watch every Duke game, but watched enough. I mean, erratic at times.
Yeah.
Doesn't throw a long ball very well,
no,
if at all.
Yeah.
Where is this guy? I know he's 6'5".
Right.
And 221. I get that.
Hear people falling
4.81 40-yard dash. I don't care about that. Hand size is decent. But
all right, well, let's get answers from the guy I know has such answers, a guy I've had a 19-year relationship with talking about such things. Chris Landry is an NFL scout and consultant. You can find him at LandryFootball.com as well. Chris, how you been?
Hey, Chris.
Oops.
Been doing good. How we doing, guys?
Really good. Really good. It's that time of year, Chris. It's good to hear your voice. We could get kind of back to Kyler Murray in just a second, but there's a story that's coming out here in the last few minutes that it sounds like Daniel Snyder's taken over the whole operation, and there's talk of him trading up to move into the top five, and he's circling Daniel Jones now. I don't know if this is smoke and mirrors before the draft or if this is Daniel Snyder being Daniel Snyder. Would you have any insight into that?
Well, I know that Dan Snyder is definitely a takeover, at least in the decision-making process. He normally checks his thoughts, but he kind of takes that even a step further or so. I do know they're not for what they specifically wouldn't want to do. They'd like to move up, and I would have moving up. They're moving up for a quarterback. They're in a need for a quarterback, of course. And that's the type of thing that he would get involved in. At least in his old eyes, he thinks he knows who's the best fit. So we'll see how this plays out. They obviously have their target on someone. We can get up. Will the Jets have an interest in moving next? But you know, keep in mind that you're getting a different level of player. Washington's at 15. Mm-hmm. So if you're talking about getting into the top five, it's going to cost you an awful lot. And if you're a team like the Jets, you're getting a completely different player for three to, you know, or if you're the Raiders from four, you know, Tampa or anybody, you know, in that top five, that's a completely different player. So it's going to cost an awful lot for them to do it.
Why is Daniel Jones morphed into how has his stock risen so much these last couple of weeks? I know it happens from time to time, particularly with quarterbacks, but I mean, I've seen enough of him and some others. He's like sixth, fifth on my list. Where's this love coming from?
Well, everybody's moving up. That's a fallacy, or moving down. It's just, you know, people in the media speculate as to who's there, but they don't know. Teams have these guys completely different than the talking heads on TV and whatnot. So people that like them have always liked them. The people that have had them, wherever they have Daniel Jones high or wherever, they haven't changed their view on them. It's just maybe some of that's coming out publicly. A lot of what you're hearing, just putting out information, you know, could there be a truth to any of it? There could be a lot of speculation trying to get somebody else to move, by floating it out that somebody else might be willing to move, just how the game is played this time of year. So, you know, be careful to not necessarily bite into that, well, this guy's moving up. Nobody moves him up the last few days. It's a process over time in evaluation. You know, as you get toward year, that's when you get all of the players, as opposed to in there to fall. You go in November 1st, well, the only thing you're looking at is games through September and October. You know, looking at further games, doing research, and getting them, and getting a feel for their aptitude, and all those things factor in. So nobody puts their board together and finishes up until about a week ago, yeah. 10 days ago. So, you know, there's really no moving on board that hadn't been set.
Chris Landry's with us. Chris, I'm going to have Chris, call you back. We were cutting out quite a bit, and this is like our favorite topic of our listeners and us. I want to make sure we get a good listen on this, because this is very important to everybody. So we'll try and call you right back and try our luck with a better phone line here in just a second. Again, a lot of interesting stories that just came out last hour. Daniel Jones may be taking over the whole operation. We know that Daniel Snyder.
And then you may take Daniel Jones.
Yeah, exactly. We know that the Raiders sent their scouts home last week. But, you know, at least that, you've got your coach and your GM hunkered down. With the Redskins, you've got your owner jumping back in there. And
he's doing a Jerry Jones.
He's doing a Jerry Jones. That's exactly right. So that's what I find very intriguing about this. And me not being a Redskin fan, I'm glad. I'm like, good, screw it all up.
Okay, but last time you fear, they drafted RG3.
Yeah.
All right.
And then they got Kirk Cousins in a later round, right? They drafted two quarterbacks that year, if I'm not mistaken.
So it's just some, you know, bad luck in RG3 getting hurt in that playoff game that year. But still, there's something about Daniel Snyder interfering that's got to throw up a big, gigantic red alert for Redskins fans. Because he would, I think he would go after a guy like Daniel Jones instead of Haskins. If he is serious, if one of the reports about him trading up to five, which means he wants to get ahead of the Giants.
All right. We do have Chris Landry back. I think the phone line is better. Chris, thank you for indulging us there. Let me ask you this. As you sit right now, because there have been a lot of smoke and mirrors about pick number one, do you think Arizona is taking Kyler Murray first tomorrow?
Well, I don't know. I think they are, yes. The thing that I think that people have to understand is until they get on the clock, they don't know what offer they might get and what options they might have. I think they'd like to move down a little bit and still get the guy that they want. So, you know, and again, not letting people know what you want to do. There's no advantage to letting people know what you want to do, because if you do, then your phone won't ring and you might miss out on a potential option trade-wise. But I think if they don't get the call that they want, which I don't think they will, I think they'll stay there at one, and it sounds like they're going to take Kyler Murray. I don't know that's what I would do, but that's what I think that they're probably going to do if they stay put.
Well, certainly if they took Kyler Murray, I mean, from a salary cap standpoint, certainly fine if they kept Murray and Josh Rosen, no question. I think there's no way that scenario does happen. I think they do take Kyler Murray, in which case Josh Rosen been rumored for a number of teams, but the two that really have emerged is maybe the Miami Dolphins or the New York Giants. I know some don't want the Dolphins to take him. They want to tank for Tua, but if he does indeed, if he is available, Josh, if Josh Rosen is available, and what's the percentage that you think he could end up with Miami, in your opinion, right now?
Well, I think he'll end up somewhere. I think it's really good value, particularly if you can get him for a high third, maybe even a late second.
Nice.
If you had a good grade coming out of him at UCLA, the kid really, some of the questions that I had on him about maybe his commitment to football has been proven, you know, clear. He's been a really, you know, dedicated player. He's on a bad football team, and there's certainly nothing last year that would suggest that, well, he doesn't have it. The issue is the Cardinals paid the $10 million signing bonus.
Yeah.
And so you can get him for really cheap. But you're talking about, you know, whether it's Daniel Jones, and maybe that's who the Redskins moving up for, or whatever, to take a guy that, you know, everybody thought was a first-rounder last year, you can get him for perhaps a second or a third-rounder, and you don't have to pay the $10 million signing bonus, and you get him on a rookie contract.
Yeah.
Well, who cares? If he doesn't make it and he's not that good, who cares? You know, you don't renew the deal at the end of the year. But you've got a real good opportunity to potentially find something, so there's no real downside to it. So I think it's value. I mean, if I'm a team looking, I would absolutely look into it. And then I would still consider, you know, if there's a quarterback I like, you consider it. You have trade value there. But, you know, it's only if you really believe in them. And if you don't, well, then you don't make that move. But if you do, just think about the price and how reduced the price is relative to any of these guys that are even in this year's draft. It's going to cost you a lot more by the time you sign them and all that. I think that needs to be factored into the decision-making process.
Chris Landry with Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. He's from LandryFootball.com. All right, where did you, in your copious notes last year, have Josh Rosen ranked? How would he rank if he were coming out this year with Kyler Murray and Haskins and Jones? Where would you rank Rosen with this bunch?
You know, I'd probably put him. I like Haskins a lot, but I you know, wouldn't play him right now. I think he's so young, but he'd fit kind of. I think he'd fit ahead of Jones. He's ahead of some of those guys that are going to go, you know, go pretty high this year. And again, if Jones goes in top 10, which, you know, very well could happen. I mean, nothing surprises me with quarterbacks. You know, to the first question you talked about, the quarterbacks. Doesn't it always happen that way? I mean, you start with a guy that, well, this guy's really more second round, and everybody's, the panic sets in to need a quarterback, and then so if you like one, you move. When you consider all that, I mean, if you would have just put him straight in, he'd be in that conversation. Absolutely. I liked Sam Darnold better, and I like Baker Mayfield better, but he's absolutely within this group. I'd probably take Haskins and want to develop him, but I think he'd fit into that group, and in fact, I would throw this note in. Based upon what I've seen him do and some of the reports of guys that have coached him at the Cardinals,
mm-hmm.
I would say that he's a little bit better than I had him graded coming out of last year's draft. So there again, I'm factoring that in, and I'm going to go back to what I just said and repeat myself for emphasis. You do not have to pay any signing bonus, mm-hmm. and he's on a rookie contract. I mean, what better deal can you get to just try him out and see if he can be that guy? In this day and age of you've got to have a quarterback, to me, I would try it even if I wasn't 100% certain. I'd give it a go because there's so much upside and so little downside, it just makes too much sense.
Mm.
On Friday afternoon, we had the day off. I'm having lunch with my wife, and I get beeped that, you know, I thought I was getting punked when I saw the Raiders were sending all their scouts home. There was trust issues, this and that. if you were consulting them, or if you ever have, but if you ever seen a situation like that, and I know scouts occasionally get some, but I mean, everybody gets sent home and then trust issues 6 days before the draft. What is going on with Mayock and Gruden out there?
Well, I think you're dealing with a first-time GM that's very insecure. You got about a dozen scouts that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All of them have done a very good job. You know, that Raiders team, they were on their way to being a pretty good team. They've had some pretty good drafts. And, you know, not everybody was on board taking Khalil Mack. They took him. And, you know, despite what people may think about Derek Carr, I still am a believer in him. But these are some guys that, you know, I guess they don't trust all 12 guys. I mean, I don't know, one or two guys, you could have a bad apple like mm-hmm. here or there, but I don't know. That what I have heard is inside that room that, you know, Mayock was kind of out of his element. You know, there's a big difference between talking about this stuff on TV mm-hmm. and actually having to make a decision.
Yeah.
This is, you know, Mike's never done this. He's never been in the draft room, so he's a fish out of water, and I think he's, you know, pretty insecure. He's there to do whatever John Gruden wants him to do. And look, I don't know. I'm not going to get involved in a lover's quarrel, so to speak. But you know, if you have a problem with guys, I mean, here's how you handle it. And this is, first of all, nobody sends. I've heard this, and it really irritates me because I've heard people, a lot of his friends on the NFL Network, mm-hmm. you know, including some that have worked in the league, say, "Oh yeah, everybody sends their scouts home."
Yeah.
That is a lie. No one
Thank
sends
you.
Their scouts home.
Thank you
no,
so
now,
much.
Now let me clarify something. Often draft meetings coincide with Easter Sunday. I have seen many organizations, if they get their draft meetings done, they'll fly their scouts home for Easter weekend, maybe even get them out on Good Friday, mm-hmm. and then they'll bring them back on Monday. Mm. But the send them home, that is just a lie. I mean, there's just no. Now, if you're not in a comfortable with them, then keep them out of the draft room. But here's the thing that I don't think people get is when you're dealing with mid-round picks, fourth, fifth, sixth-round picks, when you're signing undrafted free agents, that's where you really rely on your scouts. Who's going to help them with that? Who is going to help them get the right guys? Where are they going to get the numbers to people that are going to get on the phones to be competitive to sign free agents? Mm-hmm. They don't have anybody. Mm-hmm. This is, I mean, do you realize 31% of every team's NFL roster is undrafted free agents? 31%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And basically, now you got nobody to do that. Look, they're not going to screw. It's almost impossible to screw up this draft. They got so many high choices, but you know, you've got to be able to fill needs and get good quality through the draft. And I think they've hurt themselves. And look, if you do have some bad eggs, then you know what's the saying?
Yeah.
You know, keep your enemies close.
Yeah.
You know, if you got bad eggs, keep them in the building. Keep them out of the draft room. They're not going to be spilling the beans to someone else because no one would hire somebody. I would never hire somebody that's spilling the beans on the team that he currently works for. But now that they've basically fired him, well, if you think they're going to spill the beans, they're going to really spill the beans. And if you don't think they know who the Raiders like and don't like, you're kidding yourself. And then you hear things that are a little bit concerning. And this is a positive and a negative, but they're having some, you know, they're training. Mayock is, my understanding today, is they're going to go through some scenarios to teach him how to go through trade scenarios during the draft and all that. Now, that's good because he has no background, so he needs some practice. But this is an NFL team, and this is kind of where they are. You got somebody that's never been there. I mean, I hope that it works out, but they're going to need a lot of luck. But John Gruden's making all the decisions. So it's just Mayock's job just to do what Gruden wants. He's got 100 million reasons why he's going to make all the decisions.
Just a Chris, a quick follow-up. Do you think, and I brought this up to Craig and Chris earlier this week, do you think that another NFL team might try to pillage one of these scouts or try, have they not been on the phone? I mean, it's 12 guys, at least 12, 16 scouts.
You can't do it. It's not legal to do that. Okay. Their contracts, scouts' contracts run through the draft. So they're not, they still have to pay them, and they're still on the contract, so they can't do that. Now, but to your point, which is basically the same thing, is or will people maybe call those guys and say, hey, tell us what you know and get some intel? Yeah, I bet you that will happen. And that's why I said keep them in your building so you can keep an eye on them and don't let them in your draft room. But when you let them go home and you basically let them go, now, if they are disloyal, well, they're really going to spill the beans now.
Yeah.
And then what are you going to do? You got no way to really control it. That's the difference between somebody that hadn't been around the block, that doesn't really know this stuff, but has got a big ego, you know, kind of gets out of control. I mean, look, I mean, you learn that it's like any business. You guys are professional in what you do. You know a lot more about what you're doing now than the first day you ever did it. And it's just a product of experiences and negotiating contracts and doing this. And I just, you know, I hate for them to be in this situation, but egos can kind of drive these situations, and let's hope that they can overcome it.
Chris Landry is with us, Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN. Montez Sweat from Mississippi, would you stay away from him based on what we learned about his heart at the combine, or is that something that's manageable?
I would not, and again, I'm not a doctor. So, I mean, this is where you got to trust your medical people. And this is where you got to have doctors that are good. And as I used to like to say, I'll clean this up for you. The doctors better have some onions. You know, we used to say, get off the bleeping fence, doc, okay?
Yeah.
You know, tell me what it, the CYA, I don't want a CYA guy. Tell me what he is. Here's what I've been told medically. And again, I can't verify this because I don't know. Now, I have a heart condition, so I'm sympathetic to it, but I've learned a little bit, but I still don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't appear to be a problem. It seems like a Maurice Hurst situation. You guys remember Maurice Hurst from last year with Michigan?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, they don't see anything. Now, is there something there that they cover? Yes. Is it something that is going to – they don't see it being a problem. So – now, does every medical staff see it that way? Now, I can't vouch for that. He could slip. I'll say this, to answer your question this way. If I get the clearance on him medically, and if he slips, I'm rubbing my hands together because he has the best edge rush speed of anybody in this draft. Now, he's not the best pass rusher in terms of pass rush technique, but he's the best pure edge rush. Better than Josh Allen, better than Bosa in terms of edge rush speed. So if he were to slip mid-late first round later, you're getting something of real value. In fact, his teammate Jeffrey Simmons coming off of an ACL, and some people have some character questions, that's another guy that could slip. He's a top 10 player in this draft, and you get him late first round, early second round. Both those Mississippi State Bulldogs are going to play, and I think play a long time and play well in this league.
Last question for me about – do you really think the Giants may pass on a quarterback at number 6? I mean, is that even – I mean, in this lifetime, in this universe, I feel like I'm living in a parallel universe sometimes. How in the hell can they pass on a quarterback at 6?
Well, here's why you would do it. What if you don't have those guys graded that way? See, that's the thing I think people miss. It's all about how you evaluate players. If you don't evaluate well, that's where you mess it up. I would never recommend they draft a quarterback if they don't like him. You can't draft a quarterback because, oh, you might need one to replace Eli. Well, what good does that do to draft someone that's not good enough? Now, if you misevaluate and there is one good enough and you miss it, that's a different story. So, yes, they could do that. Do I think they will? I think they like one of these quarterbacks. Guys, it may be the guy that the Redskins might be trying to move ahead of him to get. I don't know. It may be this may end up being the Daniel Jones draft. It may be the Redskins move up ahead of the Giants. Wouldn't that be a storyline? Media would love that, right? The Redskins move ahead of the Giants. But no, I mean, I get your point. Absolutely. I've known Dave Gettleman for years. He is a really good evaluator of talent. I have a feeling that they like one of these quarterbacks, and I think that if they're in a position to get one, they will. I think they'd love to come out of it with two impact defensive starters and maybe their quarterback of the future. But if they like one of those guys and he's gone, then no, you don't take a quarterback to say you take a quarterback and you hope. I mean, that doesn't do anything. Then you're passing up a good player to take somebody that doesn't even upgrade you, is maybe not even better than Kyle Laletta. I mean, who's not good enough? So I think it comes down to your grades. You spent all year long, a year and a half, 2 years, grading all these players. And if you've done it correctly, then the draft is easy, guys, because the board speaks to you. Now, if you don't do a good job of evaluating and you don't know what you're doing, then you're pushing buttons, you're hoping, you're moving guys up. We think this, we think that. Well, you know what? We better do this. I'm scared we're going to. Then all of a sudden you start gerrymandering the board, you screw it up. And guys, I've seen it over 30 years. Mm-hmm. The best teams in the league stick to the board and trust their evaluations. The ones that panic are picking in the top five every year. And the lack of stability of people that can do it right, it hurts teams every year. I see it all the time, and you just got to be smart about it. You really do.
Well, Chris, we could do 4 hours on this. And, in fact, you and I have done 4 hours on this in the past. It is fascinating.
We have.
I miss them, too. All right, thank you so much. Enjoy the draft tomorrow. We love your input. Thanks, Chris.
Awesome stuff.
You guys do the same. Enjoy it. Appreciate being with you. Thanks for having me.
You got it. That's Chris Landry. You get him at LandryFootball.com. He's an NFL scout and consultant, and I swear by him every year. Best in the business.
He's my new favorite person on the planet.
Oh, he's great.
Because he agrees with everything I said. That's some scary stuff, which we'll get into. That's some scary stuff about the Raiders.
You know, you read my mind. That's exactly what I want to revisit when we come back, and some of the other things he talked about, plus your reaction to what he discussed at 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Don't forget, we're about an hour and a half away from another edition of Wikipedia. It is the game show that is taking the nation, or at least Southwest Florida, by storm.
The world.
We're going to stump Pete. There's a round of golf on the line from Eagle Ridge here in Fort Myers. So that's all coming up in just a little bit. Stay with us. Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Facebook has turned into a platform where anyone can spew nonsense. Sounds like these guys. Like our Facebook page, 99.3 ESPN Radio. This is Sheeman and Shepard.
Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app, also on Facebook Live and on Twitter at 99.3 ESPN. Just got off the horn with Chris Landry, our NFL scout. Fantastic stuff. I want to revisit some of what we were talking about in a moment. Our NFL draft party is tomorrow. After the show, we'll do our mock draft, but then we'll head over to Buffalo Wild Wing in Cape Coral. And we're going to bring some of you with us in just a few minutes. Stay tuned. Before this segment is over, we'll give away a table for six. It's going to be crowded. It's going to be happening. It's going to be packed. It's going to be fun. But we'll have a table ready for a lucky winner. There'll be gift cards. There'll be food. It'll be fantastic. So stay tuned. That's coming up in just a few minutes.
It always amazes me how owners of any sport, GMs, players, all say how they don't listen to sports talk radio. Some of it.
I keep telling them I could be a better GM than the one they got.
A small percentage. Yes, I agree. But most of them do. Most of these teams, doesn't matter what sport, have the radio on in the background all the time, sometimes switching through multiple stations. And I say that because the Redskins have already responded to a report, one we were just talking about before Chris came on with us.
Go ahead and recap it, because somebody just tuned in. What do the Redskins do?
Washington denies a report from Grant Paulson now of 106.7 The Fan that owner Dan Snyder has, quote, taken over the first round of the draft. Team spokesman Tony Wiley told Paulson after Paulson's original tweet that, quote, any person saying Dan Snyder has taken over the team's first round decision making is categorically false.
Okay.
So the fact that they felt the need to do that, first of all, I think it's dumb, number one. Why even acknowledge it?
I do know Tony Wiley. I'm sure he's listening.
Yeah.
To WJFK and Washington,
Chatter
D.C.
persists
right
that Washington. Chatter persists, though, that the Redskins will try to trade into the top five of the first round. That likely would entail the team drafting a quarterback, something senior VP of player personnel Doug Williams has acknowledged could happen even if Washington remains at 15. So, and Alex Smith's future is in doubt. Case Keenum and Colt McCoy signed only through 2019. They've had several quarterbacks in to visit, including Haskins, Drew Lock, and Jarrett Stidham. And Will Greer and Duke's Daniel Jones, Kyler Murray, ended up not visiting.
Hmm.
But the fact that they felt the need to respond in that way.
Yeah.
I don't think it looks good for them.
No.
In fact, it's like they're so. In fact, it makes me want to believe the report even more.
I do too. I'm all in on the report. I totally believe it. Now, during our conversation with Chris Landry a moment ago, speaking of more dysfunctional teams, boy, he just flat out came out and said Mike Mayock.
Out of his league.
Insecure?
Insecure. Out of his – not comfortable.
And
out of his element.
And he doesn't believe the story that the Raiders sent everybody home. You just don't do that. He says keep your enemies close if that's the problem.
Yeah, which is what we thought. And like I asked him about, you know, can you scouts get pillaged? Okay, yes, they're in the contract, but you're telling me, especially if a division rival's calling, you think if Denver, somebody or John Elway's not calling, picking up the phone saying, hey, because you got to figure those 16 guys, right? It's about 16 scouts sent home.
Sure.
So how many of them are pissed?
Well,
I'll talk to John Elway. I'll answer yes or no. You throw me questions and I'll answer yes or no without violating anything.
Not only does that tick him off, but Chris brought up another great point in following the dots down the line. Okay, everybody thinks they can do Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. When you get into the fifth round, are you going to have that information that you need? If you're deciding between a couple of players, you need your staff there in the building.
And even an absolutely great point, and I thought another great point he made also, which, you know, we tend to forget sometimes, that 31% of NFL rosters are made up of undrafted free agents.
That's right.
And you have got to be pretty good. And it's a crap. We know the drafts are crap, but you've got to be pretty knowledgeable the guys that aren't going to get drafted as much as the guys who are going to get drafted.
I think that's just as important. I really do. You're absolutely right.
But
as important?
I think it's pretty important.
Well, okay, so you get your one superstar in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's a crapshoot.
Mm.
And, yeah, I think if one-third of your roster
slightly less.
Fine, I'll work with you. Maybe I got myself into a quick corner. There.
Maybe three tenths.
And you bring up a guy like a Wes Welker, guy like that can slip through the cracks.
Oh yeah, you get him every year.
There are a lot of
Edelman wasn't
guys.
Drafted, was he?
No, that's what I mean.
But not to the extent because you did. Every year, I always watch you. Bill Belichick signs the next day. And, you know, 2 years later, I'm watching him in a Super Bowl. Undrafted so-and-so, a key component to the team. I mean, doesn't happen with my Lions very often, but it sure seems to happen with the Patriots. And that's the other thing Chris said. The good teams, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing every year. They got great evaluators. It's the teams that don't know what they're doing, and they don't stick to their board. They're in the top five every year. And they are the same teams in the top five draft picks every year.
If you're a Raider fan, okay, and I don't think it's – I mean, no matter what they do in the first round, unless they trade the fourth pick for, you know, a bunch of seconds and thirds, but they're probably going to do okay with the first couple of picks, no matter who it is. But also, I don't know. Something about it just seems a little off to me, and the fact that he said Mayock is out of his element. This is all on John Gruden. So I mean, what kind of input is Mayock even going to have here? Out of his element.
Well, he's a puppet,
and he's right about it. I'm so glad he brought up NFL Network, and this is what happens all the time, which is why I have a hard time trusting a lot of people on NFL Network in certain situations, and ESPN in Bristol the same way when they're talking about former colleagues, especially if they're former coaches. Or now GMs. There's nobody in NFL Network that's going to say anything bad about Mayock. Nobody. Ain't going to happen.
Right.
At least for the time being. So,
I mean, is anybody at ESPN saying anything bad about Gruden? He's still got his relationships too.
No,
right.
Absolutely not. So I just want people to be candid. Let's just be honest about it. Yeah. And here's a guy, and I believe Chris Landry. I mean, you talk about Mike, and it's what we kind of suspected. Guys, he's a puppet. He's out of his element. Scouts being sent home for trust reasons? It does not happen. Doesn't happen.
It's crazy.
Good luck.
I was just sending him home for Easter. Easter weekend. Have a nice Easter ham. Then come back and get ready to roll up your sleeves and enter the draft. All right, while we're talking important stuff about football, what does he have us watching? What's Chris
Manchester
watching?
Derby.
MC Hammer versus...
Yeah, let's hear this one, huh?
No, MC.
Premier League, Manchester
Man
United.
Man City, Man U.
Now, these are in the same city.
Manchester.
This would be like the Giants or the Jets.
You have to root for the Lions because they're wearing powder blue, so you have to root for Man City.
Okay.
They're wearing powder blue uniforms.
The Citizens, as they call themselves.
Really?
It doesn't look like Hawaiian blue. That sounds awfully cocky. We're the Citizens. We're the team of the people.
Just like a nickname. I don't know. No, I think they take it, and I could be way off base on this one. I'm just thinking. Manchester United for years has been a global brand.
Yes.
So Manchester City in the last, let's call it 10 years.
Yeah.
They've really elevated their level of play. So the whole, like, the fans of Manchester City, they were from Manchester. Okay. Versus the fans of Manchester United kind of worldwide. Where they're more
like the
of
New
like
York Yankees.
More of the Yankees Mets syndrome, where Mets fans are really isolated to that New York, New Jersey area versus Yankees fans are everywhere.
And who are you rooting for?
I am rooting for Manchester United.
All right.
But if Man City wins, I'd like them to win by more than one goal.
I think I hear what you're saying.
I thought you said Man City minus one.
I did say that. I'm rooting for Man U though.
Gotcha. That's what Pete did to me yesterday with the Tigers, which we swept your losing Red Sox.
I said.
But you had Skittles on my Tigers to cover yourself.
Red Devils.
And they did.
Manchester United.
Both games.
Fact. Going to beat you today, too. We're sweeping you. You guys stink.
They do.
And then David Price opens his mouth. What is David Price talking about again?
Former Tiger.
I know he thinks he's a leader in the clubhouse.
He is.
Not really. Trying to give like this pep talk, and I was watching the Tigers broadcast last night, Matt Shepard and Jack Morris, because on the baseball package that I have, for some reason on the high def for the Red Sox, it was a bit, but that's fine. I usually watch the opposing teams anyway. But they had the quote from David Price over the weekend, well before the Tampa series,
yeah,
where he basically opened his mouth again. It was like a
lit a fire under the team.
Throwing his players under the team, under the bus.
No, he goes.
Jack Morris even said, he goes, it's just not really necessary to do that at this point in
the season. Opens his mouth, Red Sox sweep the race.
Not publicly. You don't do it publicly. You do it privately.
Yeah. David Price.
Jack was right.
Jack with – that's a fat Jack. Stripes.
Please, no.
What? Are you not ready for my energy? Because I'm bringing it.
No, the Jack –
no
conversation.
No, I know what he's talking about. Please don't do. I'm begging you, don't do what
we just did that last week.
What?
What Jack and the Beanstalk?
No, yeah, Jack in the Box.
No.
We had
no,
a Jack
I'm not talking about that. About that.
Oh, then what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
If there's any type of scoring, I just hope it's during the
break. Oh, no, I'm screaming. Goal.
No, you're not.
Oh, I was getting my vocal cords ready there. No, nice please, save on
please,
goal.
Please, Raheem please, Sterling please. Almost with the... the deaf touch.
Here's the deal, people. Draft night tomorrow.
Boom.
Party at Buffalo Wild Wings in Cape Coral. All of you are invited. However, special treatment for caller number 9 right now. Get a free table for 6. No reservations required. You walk right in. You sit down. Get a little something
walk
on the
right
house.
In. Sit right
get
down.
Get gift cards. Na-na-na. It's all good. Caller number 9. Join us at our draft party with a table of 6. At Buffalo Wild Wings at Cape Coral, 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. It's Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Check out whatever ridiculous Twitter poll we're running at 99.3 ESPN Radio. Now it's Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN.
Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Thanks for checking us out on a hump day Wednesday. It is NFL draft day tomorrow. And guess who's going to be joining us out of Buffalo Wild Wings in Cape Coral, 7 to 10? Brady from Northport. Congratulations. He was caller number 9. Got a table for 6 waiting for you.
Good job, Brady. Awesome.
All right. Like that.
Nice name.
You know, my first thought was to think Brady Bunch. You, of course, thought TB12. All right. It's fine. Just come from...
Ben Roethlisberger, by the way, getting 2 more years, as we thought, $63 million in new money. That's $31.5 million a year.
Good for him.
According to Ian Rappaport.
Deserves it.
What a waste.
It is a waste.
Well, it's good.
Yeah, because the alternative is much better.
So, as Craig alluded to earlier, it was a very good point. It's a better year per average than Matt Ryan got in his recent contract, but less than Aaron Rodgers, which in turn, less than Russell Wilson at $35 million a year in new money.
But that's about right. Right?
That's about right. Yeah. He's not better than...
He's not better than Rodgers. Or Russell Wilson, but he's better than Matt Ryan.
Yes. Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. And Matt Ryan could be better. I think Matt Ryan has not lived up... Matt Ryan's been good. He's not lived up to his upper ceiling potential. I think he could be much better. But I could be wrong. Maybe this is all you get.
I think you're right.
What Kyle Shanahan did for him... I've never seen anything like it.
Look at the talent he had, too. He had a real good running game.
Still has the talent.
Two stud receiver, yeah.
Still has the talent.
If he knew how to take a sack, he'd be polishing a ring right
now.
Yeah,
he would. Yeah. Yep.
So it's another if, but, when.
Yes, maybe. But this one's factual. Yeah. Ain't nobody coming back from 28-3. That's ridiculous.
Well, don't say that because it happened.
It happened.
Because he didn't take a knee.
How about a 3rd and 15 that was given up by the defense? Oh, come on.
I'm sorry. Chris, I apologize. I'm sorry.
I will counter it.
I didn't mean to
open your segment. Take it.
I didn't mean to open him up. I'm sorry. I have another story. Different topic. If I can pivot.
Yeah, please.
Pivot. It involves golf.
Squeaky shoe.
Yeah. Remember Eric Burns used to play with the A's. 2010.
EB.
A little bit with the Diamondbacks. Kind of a fun player. Did the media thing for a while. Big flowing golden hair.
Yeah.
On the West Coast. So he set a world record.
Good for him.
On Monday and Tuesday at the Ocean Course at Half Moon Bay Links in California.
Huh.
Played 420 holes, 24 hours, straight through.
How many yards is the course?
On Saturday?
Monday and Tuesday, apparently, of last week. He
played 420 holes?
In 24 hours. Yeah.
So it was a lit course.
Must have been lit.
Well, yeah, I'm assuming.
So do the math on that. I don't know he's an endurance athlete. That's what he's been doing since he ended his baseball career. And so he began his quest.
17 and a half holes an hour? Yeah.
17 an hour nonstop for 24 hours?
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't.
That's no he said fun. 420.
That's huffing it.
That's no fun.
Said 420?
420.
Divided by 24.
Yeah.
It was 17 and a half.
Wow, that's a brisk pace of play.
Is he in a cart?
Running.
I'm sure he had. Well.
No, running.
He began playing at 7 a.m. Pacific time, had good weather during the 24 hours.
It's 10 o'clock in the east.
And he did not take any time to ponder his next shot.
How long is the course?
I don't know.
Was it an executive, a par 3?
What course was it? Half Moon?
Pebble Beach.
The ocean course at Half Moon Bay. I know where this is a pretty uppity course. You don't just roll into the ocean course at Half Moon Bay. This is where the wealthy live. In the Bay Area.
Silicon Valley.
He set the record of 402 by 531 and continued to play through. Added another 18 holes over the next 89 minutes to complete the 24-hour gap. 420. No 810. It was not putt-putt.
How many balls did he use?
Don't know. Don't know.
So that's a
scorecard.
So
there we go.
So that's I'm assuming the course is what, close to 7,000 yards.
Sure.
From the tips, this is a 6,854 yard course.
Let's assume he's playing whites.
So whites is he's probably playing the blues. Blues is your men's tees. 6,470. So 6,500 yard course.
Still, all right.
It's a real golf course.
Wonder what he shot. 420 times 4, 16, 1,600.
You think he's running with like 4 clubs in his hand?
I don't know the situation. I'm sorry. I don't have more details. I don't know if it was caddyless.
Irresponsible reporting.
I'm sorry. I didn't have all the details. I ran with it. Breaking news.
It looks like a really nice course.
It's developing.
Developing news.
And I was wrong in the 2 o'clock hour. That Tyreek Hill press conference.
Yeah.
3 o'clock central.
Oh.
I was wondering why I didn't see anything on it last year or last hour.
It's right now.
It's coming up.
Yes.
Is the NFL Network carrying it?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, but we're not cutting away.
It's halftime of a 0-0 Manchester United soccer game.
It's the Manchester Derby. It's what they call rivalry. Crosstown rivalries.
A derby is a derby.
Yep, that's a crosstown rivalry. See, well, Manchester and Liverpool, that's just your standard rivalry game. Liverpool-Everton, the Merseyside derby.
Here's breaking news. It's 0-0. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.